There's a lot of situations in life that we dive into and we have expectations of how they're going to go. There are. You know, it's like, okay, you go on vacation. It should be fun. It should be this. It should be that, depending on what location you go to. You spend time with your family. Okay, it should be this. It should be that. You are with your loved ones, your grandchildren, your children, and you're having a special night together, hanging out. It should be like this. It should be like that. You have most of us have the positives in mind, you know, and you hope that it's going to go that way. But what happens when something intervenes, something else beyond the people, beyond just somebody having a bad day and a bad personality or cranky, whatever, something dark that seems to come in to those situations that should not be there? How do you handle that? What do you do? On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we have three stories where that happens. What should have been an exciting spring break on the beach turns into a haunting nightmare that drives some college students to flee. And it's all fun and games at the family reunion until a cousin goes and gets possessed. And did a woman's grandson come under the possession of an evil spirit as his eyes turn black and he begins to speak in a voice that's not his? I'd venture to say probably. Three creepy stories. You don't want to miss them here on EPP bonus episode number 345 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Spring break is supposed to be, I guess kind of a rite of passage. I never really went on spring break, but many people do. And a lot of, you know, kids, young people, it gets kind of crazy from what I've seen. And I'm talking more in normal times, not like COVID times where they literally have to shut cities down because everybody's literally out of their minds. But obviously, it's that atmosphere. It's youth. It's a ton of energy, a ton of bad decision making, loaded with alcohol. That's essentially spring break when you're thinking of the going to the beach in Florida type spring break. And that's what happens in our next story. Two people, two young folks thinking, let's go do this. Let's go spring break. And we're going to take it all the way back to the 1980s and spring break at that point in time. Staying at a motel, kind of a crappy motel at that. And the strange things that start happening in the room that make spring break, as crazy as it can be, unbearable because of the paranormal. Take a listen. Back in 1988, a friend and I decided to go to Fort Lauderdale, Florida for spring break. Things were different back then. At our ages 20 and 21, we did not have credit cards and you had to be 25 to rent a car. So my friend's mother helped us out with the rental car and hooked us up with her travel agent for the flight and hotel arrangements. This was pre-internet, so we had no idea what we were getting until we arrived. We had visions of what it would be like when we got there, but we were wrong. The hotel we were staying in was about a 20-minute drive to the beach, which seemed odd to us since we thought the travel agent would have found us right on or at least within walking distance to the ocean. The location was not the greatest, and that's an understatement. The area was a bit run down. The nearby liquor and convenience stores had very thick bulletproof glass separating the cash registers and the customers. We were the only spring breakers in the hotel, but we're not going to let that ruin our week in Florida, right? After landing, we arrived at the hotel sometime in the early afternoon and checked in. We'd only been there in the room for about a minute or two, and the phone started ringing. I picked it up and a female voice was on the other end and asked for Mike. Oddly enough, that was the name of my friend that was right there in the room with me. I told her that I didn't think my friend was the person she was looking for, but gave the phone to him anyway. He took the phone with a confused look on his face, probably the same one I was giving him when I handed him the phone. She proceeded to tell my friend that she had spent the night in jail and needed a ride home. She rambled and rambled as if she knew him. He finally explained that he was not the Mike she was looking for and asked if she might have called the wrong room. Nope, she meant to call our room, because she knew the room number and name of the hotel that we were staying in. And she realized that my friend was not the person she was looking for. She continued the conversation and asked if we liked to party. We're on spring break, so the obvious answer was yes. She said she'd bring a friend and come by our room around 8 o'clock that night. At the time, we both thought it was a great idea. That afternoon, we made the 20-minute ride to the beach, had a few beers, food, took in the sights. We're sure to be back at the hotel well before 8 p.m. to get ready for our new friends. We're on the third floor of our five-floor hotel. Each floor had an open walkway of hotel doors with stairs at both ends, and we were located exactly right of center if you're looking at the hotel from the street. We devised a plan that day to go up to the fifth floor and watch the parking lot to get a preview of the girls. They never showed up that night or any other night and never called again. As the week went on, we'd forgotten about the phone call and didn't notice anything out of the ordinary. We're probably too drunk to notice if anything was going on anyway. We did take notice that the parking lot would be packed with cars every night, but be totally empty during the day. That will come into play later. It was now our last full day in Florida. Be flying home early the following morning. We were tired of the 20-minute ride to the beach, so we decided to hang out at the hotel pool during the day and drink the beer we had left over. We put some beer in our small hotel room garbage can, packed it with ice, and walked down to the pool. The pool area was nothing fancy, really. It was a large rectangular pool surrounded by lounge chairs, looked aged like most of the rest of the hotel. The entire area was surrounded by a fence, but that didn't keep the local youth from climbing over and taking a dip. We were told to let the front desk know if we saw them do it. When we got to the pool, we took two lounge chairs right near the entrance gate, which would make for easy access when we needed to fill up the beer again. There were two females at the far end of the pool. They looked like an older mother-daughter combo. Within 10 minutes of us being there, about five local kids, maybe between 10 and 12 years of age, climbed over the fence directly across the pool from us and jumped in. We had better things to do than ruin their good time, so neither of us was about to go tell on them. Each small group had their own corner of the pool deck, nowhere close to one another. It was not long before we needed a beer refill, so I headed back up to the hotel room for more. Upon my return to the pool area, I opened the gate and was greeted with a balled-up beach towel hurled at my face. It was my own towel that I had left on my chair, spread out for me to lay back down. When I asked him why he felt the need to do that, he informed me that I balled it up and threw it at him while I was leaving for the beer. We discussed this probably longer than it needed to be discussed, and by the end, we just figured it must have been the young neighborhood kids that had hopped the fence and were playing in the pool, but we could not explain how they could have done it, since none were anywhere near us, and it happened as I was walking out of the gate, 3 feet away from us. We forgot about it and went on with the day. Sometime in the late afternoon, we went back to our room, showered, ordered a pizza. Pizza place is not far away. Got in our rented convertible Mustang and went to pick it up to bring it back to the hotel. We got back to the hotel and got our room. The key was not working. After trying it several times, we went to the front desk to report the issue. The guy at the desk was kind of a jerk and thought we were two clueless morons, but he followed us up to our room and then tried the key himself. It did not work for him either. The reason why it did not work was that the deadbolt was locked. Guests at the hotel did not have a key for the deadbolt. The hotel worker, again talking to us like we were idiots, told us that our roommate must be in there because guests can only lock the deadbolt from the inside. We told him that we were the only two guests in that room. He put his ear against the door and insisted that he heard someone inside the room. He repeatedly knocked on the door, but nobody answered. He thought we were lying to him, took out his keys, and again put his ear to the door and insisted that someone was in the room. We were curious to see who it was. When he unlocked the deadbolt and walked inside, there was nobody there. He even went into the closet and bathroom, but it was empty. Probably should have freaked us out, but like everything else so far, it was dismissed quickly. We thanked him, he left the room, and we had our pizza. It's now early evening, and we're just about to play a game of cards, and there was a knock on the door. When I opened the door, there was a short African-American woman, maybe late 20s to mid-30s, standing there. From the surprised look on her face, she was not expecting to see me answer the door. She told me she was looking for Tom. I told her that she had the wrong room. She apologized and walked away. As I closed the door, I stood there for a few seconds, opened it back up, and stepped out into the walkway, looking over the rail at the parking lot. I told Mike to come out. When he did, I pointed out to him that the parking lot was almost empty. As I mentioned earlier, the parking lot was always full at night and empty during the day. Then it hit me. It was maybe a matter of 5 to 10 seconds between the time of the closing door and the woman leaving and me opening it back up to step out to the walkway. What happened to that woman? Could she have already had the time to knock on another door and gone inside? We walked in both directions. on our floor and saw that there was nobody within at least five rooms of us. Where did she go? Still, that short freakout did not last exceptionally long, and we went back inside to play cards. In the middle of a hand, I noticed that the show, Three's Company, was no longer on TV. The strange part about it was that, as I recalled, the episode we were watching had only just started, but it was no longer the show we were watching. I brought it up to Mike, but he had not been paying attention to what was on television. I did not let it go, though. I told him about the episode we were watching, and he remembered at that point, but just assumed it had ended. His back was to the TV, which is probably why I paid more attention. I pointed out that there's no way the show was over because it was only a quarter after the hour and the new show would not have started yet. So I walked to the TV, started flipping through the channels. What do you know? There's the episode of Three's Company that we were watching. We then went back to playing cards until it happened again. This time it was more verbal. Look, I said, Three's Company is gone again. We're both baffled about this happening. It was about to get very strange. I got up and changed the channel back to Three's Company. And just as I sat back down, the channel started changing automatically, one by one. Click, click, click. We were shocked. Then it finally stopped on an interesting show. The guy hosting looked very much like a mixture between the founder of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, and Ming the Merciless from the Flash Gordon movie. It was all about evil things and bad luck. Now, we were genuinely freaked out. Why it took us so long, I have no idea, but we were on edge. Within a few minutes of the channel-changing incident, we heard some banging in the room next door. We both went over and put our ear to the wall and continued to hear something in the next room. But when we were in the exterior walkway earlier, there was nobody in that room. We went back to the walkway, investigated the window of that room, and saw nothing. The curtain was open, the lights were off, and there was nobody there. We had enough. We were legitimately spooked. We went back into our room, turned off the TV, grabbed the car keys, and left. Our plan was to drive down the beach and sleep in the car somewhere down that way. We were leaving early the next morning anyway, so one uncomfortable night of sleeping in the car was not going to kill us. We planned to come back early in the morning, shower, pack our things, and get out of there. When we got out to the car and put the key into the ignition, the car would not start. All the electrical worked, but it would not even turn over. We sat there for a few minutes and tried again. And nothing. We tapped the starter. Nothing. We checked under the hood and saw nothing unusual. We were stuck. We started rehashing everything that had happened to us that week, starting from the call we just got minutes after entering the room on the first day we arrived, the pool towel throwing incident, and this last night of our stay. The last night was the craziest, with a deadbolt dilemma. The disappearing visitor at our door, the empty parking lot when nights were always so busy at this hotel, the channel changing by itself, the thumping in the room next door, and finally the car not starting when we tried to leave the property. My friend tried the car a few more times to no avail. We were stuck in the parking lot. We devised a new plan. Sleep in the car, in the parking lot, and try starting it early in the morning. If it did not start, we'd call the car rental company and have them drive us to an airport for our flight home. That is where we're going to pause this portion of EPP Bonus episode number 345 to hear the whole thing. Become an extra podcast person in EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to hear the whole thing in its entirety, start to finish, along with all 345 bonus episodes. And you also get access to our archive of stories, which is, incidentally, the largest audio archive of ghost stories ever created. So if you like ghost stories, you've come to the place that has the most ghost stories ever. So yeah, if you want in on that, sign up to be an EPP over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You get access to all that. Plus, we got new material for you every single week. New bonus episodes, advanced episodes. It's all there for you. And it's all ad free. Another big perk of being a supporter of the show. You don't have to have the ads. So there you go. $5 a month, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to help keep us on the air. Check it out and thank you in advance. I'm Tony Brisky. Thanks for listening.